B-Pod Studios.
Let me go to the phones right now. I have Arnie Bernstein on the phone. Arnie, are you there?
I'm all there.
Hi there, Arnie. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Who am I speaking to, Stan or Henny?
You got both of us right here.
My lucky day.
Dad, don't be a smartass.
I've got a splitting headache. Pick a spot.
I've got a splitting headache, and I'm hungover, and let's just try and keep it civil.
All right, I'm going to try to set...
And polite.
And polite. Well, we'll see how it goes, Arnie. I'm going to try to set the stage
here. I'm on your side.
I know you are. I'm going to try to set the stage here, and then you take it from where you want to take it, Arnie. You have been...
Which... Right, exactly. Tell me which part, because it went over AP in several versions. The guy liked me.
I have the Associated Press version. That's the story I've got.
I try to play by the rules, and all I'm trying to do is make everybody else I come in contact do the same.
Arnie, you've been arrested 3 times since last fall.
That is correct.
That is correct. You go to police stations, mainly, the Hartford, Connecticut Police Department.
That is correct.
And you go into the lot where... The police officers...
Actually, they don't have a lot. They're parking along a street that they felt that they have such privilege to park along that they put a sign on a public street, no trespassing, trespassers will be prosecuted. This is a street going along the west perimeter of that police department. It's off near the Connecticut River, and they wanted to feel safe and secure where they parked their vehicles, so they basically have seized the street without due process.
Now, what you basically do is check these cars out.
I just walk up and down the street, and what has happened is individuals that are employees in that area seem to think that they do not have to, or whatever it was. There's a hell of a lot of a percentage of people not complying that should be complying.
Right. You're saying that the police officers are breaking the law with their own private automobiles, that they are ticketing people for...
Not only am I saying it, but I have the license plate numbers and registration numbers to verify it.
Arnie, it all started back in 1991. What got under your skin?
My daughter was working at 20 years old, her first job at McDonald's at 5:30 in the morning, and... All of a sudden, this kid is struggling to make it financially, and she comes to me. I'm separated from her mom, and she says, Dad, I can't run my car anymore. Somebody came through the parking lot at 7 o'clock in the morning, an officer, and gave me a ticket, not only for an emission sticker, but my vehicle is not going to pass. It's a clunker. And it just happened to tickle me a little wrong. I went down to that particular local police department, West Hartford, Connecticut, and believe it or not, they had every right to do it. Every one of them was complying and so forth. In other words, I hit the suburban area departments where things are just run a little smoother. At that point, I went to the inner city, which is Hartford, and found that that's why the inner cities aren't functioning. The loose wires and bolts and nuts and the care and the concern it seems to be lacking from the inner city of Hartford,
Arnie?
Connecticut.
Arnie, approximately how many hours of free time do you have per week?
A hell of a lot more than I need to be. But I try to devote all of my free time to what I could minimally construe as political, environmental causes. I've got a few heroes like the leader of the former Gorbachev, who has turned from red to green, according to an article I just read. I admire Ralph Nader. I just admire people that are trying every day to do it the honest way.
Well, how come you got arrested 3 times?
Obviously, they must have feared you were
breaking the law too.
We'll have a jury and a judge decide who is breaking the law more.
You get free pot from the government?
No, I do not get free pot from the government. I go to any street corner in Hartford where they run up to me and try to sell it to me.
You smoke it?
Occasionally, I have smoked it. I found that there's a significant medicinal value to it. There's certainly a sacramental aspect, as my friends, the Rastafarians, have advised me.
But you're not a Rastafarian.
What is a Rastafarian? If you can say to me, I'm not a Rastafarian, what is a Rastafarian?
Well, I think you got to have dreadlocks.
Yeah.
No, that's merely a cosmetic aspect. I think in my heart I'm a Rastafarian, so help me God. Or a Buddhist. I merely wish to keep it a little cleaner, a little better, a little saner for our children, our grandchildren tomorrow. If that is strange or way out, then you've got the right guy on the radio station.
Well, I want to ask you one question, and then we'll, because you could go for hours. If I go and say, who is Arnold Bernstein, your answer would be?
My answer would be a guy that prays for the right size small hammer, a can of oil, so that I can apply it to some of the wrongs in the world.
Brilliant. Brilliant. You. And your quest continues, doesn't it, Arnie?
God willing, I hope so. But if you call me back and any time at your convenience, I'll give you some great documentary commentary on everything, because my whole day with free time, I'm a poor kid from a poor neighborhood in Hartford that's made it pretty decent, and all I want to do is share.
You want to share? Will you give us some dough?
Why are you talking dough? I'll give you the seeds to plant your own wheat. Why would I have to make my bakery produce your dough?
So true. So true. Again, the words of wisdom.
If you feed a man, you merely deprive him. If you give him the seeds and the tools to feed himself, and then he's no longer a burden to society.
Arnie, are you all bummed out about the Whalers moving out of town?
No. I thought that was a big ripoff to the people in the city. From way back.
The Whalers were?
Absolutely.
How can you say that?
How can you say that? Because I'll help carry their bags to the station as they leave. They're a bunch of bums.
Arnie, thanks for coming on.
God bless you.
God bless you. Woo! Certified loon. Yes, K-Rock, who am I speaking with?
It's Robert Lindstrom.
Robert, and you are with what?
I'm with the Volusia County School Board. I'm supervisor.
Oh, your supervisor.
Yes.
I guess you're well aware of this whole thing involving the high school teacher.
I certainly am, and Buddy's been a friend of mine for the past 18 years.
You're, of course, referring to the teacher who is currently under suspension right now for pulling the starter's pistol on the little kid or the ninth grader. He's still a little kid, and threatening him with it. What are your comments on this thing?
Well, certainly it would be ludicrous to support someone taking a pistol and pointing it at a student, loaded or unloaded. We don't condone that. But I think what people need to understand is that I don't know how old a gentleman you are.
I'm 35.
Well, times have changed since we were in school. I'm 48. Times have changed since we were in school, and the kids don't seem to respond to traditional forms of discipline in the way that that we did when we were in school.
So what are you saying? So a gun is a way to get through to a kid?
Well, it certainly got through to this kid.
It scared the living daylights out of him, but I don't think it's the right place in the classroom to go and pull a starter's pistol, a .22 caliber starter's pistol.
And again, I'm in agreement on that. It's dangerous, but it was a hell of a wake-up call for the kid.
Oh.
We're looking into to alternative methods. We feel like Volusia County is going to lead the way, and we want to be out in front of this thing. We've looked into forms of discipline non-traditional.
Non-traditional. Like what?
I don't know if you're familiar with, they call it a taser.
Oh, don't even give me that. Yeah, I know what a taser is.
The thing to keep in mind is it's
that's called
harmless. It's harmless, but it will disable an aggressive student and disable them rather quickly.
A taser is a very violent instrument used to completely subdue a person for a period of time. You want to do that to a ninth grader?
Well, that's the idea. If the ninth grader is out of control, that's what you do, sure.
You're going to go and taser a kid in a classroom.
We've looked into other things. And
like what?
The cattle prod.
Cattle prod? You got to
keep order in the classroom.
You got to be joking with me, aren't you?
We've looked into everything from cattle prods to rubber bullets. I kid you not. There has to be some form of order in the classroom. If you don't have order in the classroom, you've got chaos, and that's not a conducive learning environment. We're trying to do this for the kids that want to learn.
What do you think a parent is going to say when their kid gets tasered or cattle prod at school?
One of the things that we're also looking into, the taser is just one of many options.
Yeah, sure.
The other options that we've looked into is hiring bigger teachers.
What?
You know, big badasses.
Big badasses.
Well,
for
yeah,
teachers.
like biker guys.
Isn't that a form of discrimination? Somebody that's capable, quite capable of giving a child an education cannot get a job in your school district because you want big guys?
Well, let me ask you something.
Yeah, what? Because
if you're the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, are you going to be sued because you're hiring people that are big?
It's two different things. Everyone's
no, it's not two different things. You got a job to do, and if somebody needs an ass kicking, you have to have the people in place that can do it. I'm a firm believer in that.
You're a stupid man, aren't you?
No.
You have to be stupid to even...
I would challenge you. I have several degrees.
You had several degrees in what? Being an ass?
I have a doctorate in education and also one in subversive discipline.
Well, so the two go hand in hand, huh? Maybe you were sleeping in class during that first degree that you got, and this other one kind of like perked an interest in you.
You see, you're part of the problem.
No, I'm not part of the problem. You're part of the problem.
I'll be honest with you. I would take a taser to you right now.
Don't ever threaten me on my show. You'll put a taser to me. Why don't you bring your fat old man, old method ass down here, Mr. Taser, and try to do something like that to me, and I'd kick your ass.
Well, I certainly will, because I wouldn't be alone. I'd had a lot of badass biker teachers.
Yeah, a lot of your badass biker teachers, huh?
Yeah, I'll take a leather strap to your ass.
Kiss my ass.
Heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on. Now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off your feet. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney on all afternoon. Now from Naples to Fort Myers, all over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Port Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Sin. The fill out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. All afternoon. We're like whiskey and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once. Listen twice, got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon, that's where we belong. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. All afternoon. Oh,
It's a new era for America and Southwest Florida. As for Stan and Haney, unfortunately, their problems remain much the same.
Yeah.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney.
Was that a good sign?
I don't know. I'm glad you made it back. Friday, of course, in St. Augustine to take your daughter down the aisle as she becomes a married woman. And you're the father-in-law to
and
the son-in-law.
And I couldn't be prouder. He's a good boy.
That's good. A couple of things. Our listeners were not so concerned about Dave and Haney. We're not so concerned, although they did send their well wishes.
I know they were concerned about you with the amount of buttons you had to push.
You know what? The logistics of this was nuts. It can't be made simple. It's not simple.
What I want to know, though, is...
No, what everybody wants to know is the dog. There were more clicks on that dog. That
little
was
bastard.
Carpet wetter, and I mean that carpet was bad.
And everywhere else, too. Yeah. When they do let him out, they let him out on the second floor balcony, and he wets there.
Was the dog still there when you guys checked out?
Yes, the last thing I heard is it's like, okay, one last bathroom break, and I'm standing there, and I go, oh, dog's not at the front window. It's at the back of the room barking at me.
Yeah, I mean, that was for
Friday's
show.
And you never saw anybody in that room.
Never.
Didn't
not
you
the
say
whole
he was
time.
Sitting on the bed and petting his dog?
It looked like somebody was sitting in there, but I couldn't tell.
Could have been a corpse.
I don't know, man. That was a strange place. A lot of people keep bicycles in their room there.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
But the dog was still there when you left.
Yeah, still sitting there.
That was what the concern was all about. Your whole trip up to St. Augustine, there were more texts and clicks about that dog.
Given the rate of that hotel, I think somebody said, instead of getting a kennel, we'll get the dog its own room.
Here, boy. There he is. Here, boy.
Very much so.
That little bastard.
Here, boy.
night long, man.
Got himself a good underbite.
And then the damn freight train coming through. And...
Oh, yeah.
God.
If we'd stayed there a couple more days, we could tell you the schedule on that train.
I bet you could.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
look at that dog.
Yeah.
That little bastard.
A little pain in the ass.
Looks the part, too, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Look at the drool on the window.
He's got a nice collar on. An owner who cares.
Well, that's just to keep people from thinking he's a stray.
Yeah. By the way.
I wonder if somebody said, instead of a kennel, why don't we just throw him in the roadway in?
Got a nice carpet there to pee on and crap on.
Yeah, the dog made itself at home.
Had a big bowl of food, so somebody...
Oh, sure, they take care of it.
You know what? I wonder if they just tipped that housekeeper.
It's very well possible, yeah.
And she comes by and just empties the bag.
Just does a check. Welfare check on the dog.
Concerned about that animal.
Look,
that's no life, even for a dog.
No, that's a lonely existence. That dog needs a good home.
It was a good...
Yeah, that's out front.
Yeah, that's when they let him out.
To pee.
Yeah. Yep.
Out the front door.
This is so...
I wonder how long that dog's lived there.
I don't know. A long time.
Yeah, and you're right next door. All the seepage, all the...
You know
the...
what? Here's my theory. Some wealthy old granddame of St. Augustine said the dog had to be provided for in her will, and that was the cheapest way they could do it. That's the dog's room.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Dog's got a full run of the hotel room.
Well, I'm glad you guys made it back. I'm glad somebody...
Yeah, because it was an iffy thing.
It was iffy.
Yeah, a little shady.
And somehow, and I'll never understand this one, the equipment worked better in St. Augustine than it did in our own building.
Of course it did. Works better if we're... it worked better than if we were even at a car lot somewhere.
Is it just... The farther away we get from the radio station, the better the equipment works?
A lot of time it's operator error. The simple skill, and you know what? Hats off to Dave. He understands this. Disconnect, reconnect.
Mm-hmm.
Because not every time, you know how sometimes you call grandma and you don't have a good connection and the thing's breaking up and you say, well, let me call you right back. Maybe we got a bad connection, then it comes in and it's fine.
You know what else was really strange?
What?
Because they booked the rooms. I didn't know where this place was.
Dump. Somebody, I'll read the email later. Somebody, just by your description of it up in St. Augustine, because I only think there's one like it, they nailed where you stay.
Yeah, and right across the street was a radio station.
Yeah.
And it was just the most bizarre thing. As we were sitting there talking to you, we could see their office and their call letters and all that.
That's great. That's great.
So it was just a little slice of hell.
I just got to let you guys know a little change in the way that we're going to do the show today.
Yeah, and that's because, as you all know, we have been waiting forever for the IG report.
Well, let me explain. We're going to do the Wayback Machine at 3:30 today, 3:35.
Given that it's a historic day,
because
we have to make arrangements.
Very busy day. The IG report came out this afternoon.
And you can count on us for full team coverage.
Mark Caney will be here. Brett Baer, I'll be here. And Brian Kilmeade. We'll have roundtable discussion
and
on
we'll
the IG
report.
And we'll
unpack this thing.
And we'll unpack that. You think we're joking, it's true. Brett Baer, Brian Kilmeade, Stan and Haney, roundtable discussion on the IG report and the Durham response to the IG report. Which,
well, I saw Attorney General Barr wasn't all that pleased either.
So way back an hour earlier, roundtable with Brett Baer, Brian Kilmeade, and Stan and Haney. Coming up later on
today.
Will
I be considered the anchor for that? Or would you be considered the moderator
of the panel. I'll introduce the panel.
And will you use my full title?
Yes.
Okay.
Local news anchor, Southwest Florida's most respected
anchor.
There you go.
There you go.
Known for decades for his kicker stories, Mark Haney.
Hey. You know what? Yeah. I have not once mentioned the fact that your face is all messed up.
I had surgery today. I had surgery. We'll be back. Surgery.
A toy battery-driven bunny just can't stop beating a little bass drum. And we just can't stop beating a long dead horse. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us Monday afternoon. Maybe a chance today. We'll see if we get an opportunity for Motley Crue, Def Leppard tickets.
Yeah, and I also broke a solemn vow.
What was that?
Well, the quickest route from here to St. Augustine takes you directly through Marion County and Slocala, and I had made a solemn vow that I would never return.
I know. That a lot of painful memories there in Slocala.
Indeed.
You went through it, didn't you? Brought back some memories, didn't it?
It was dark. That was a blessing.
Yeah. That's horse country.
I shouldn't blame Slocala.
No.
It was just the people I was working for, I guess.
Yeah.
But I can't say anything nice about it.
Glad you made it back safely.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Wayback Machine in about an hour, special time. 4 o'clock, 4:35, full coverage. IG report out now. The Durham response.
Yes.
Roundtable discussion live on this show. Brett Baer, Mark Haney will be here. I'll be here.
Brian
Kilmeade, our buddy, will be here. So
full team coverage.
Full team coverage
that you can only get from the Stan and Haney show.
That's right. Grab bag, brought to you by.
Come on, you can keep a straight face.
The pewter mug.
And we're not joking, by the way.
No, we're not. There's our celebrity picture of the day, 2018, Marlon Wayans with Stan and Haney. When he came in the studio, you tried to get an interview with Marlon Wayans, didn't you, Rob?
Sean.
Oh, Sean.
Yeah, Sean.
We had Sean on.
We sure did.
Didn't we? We've had, I think, did we get Keenan Ivory at some point?
Very early on, back in the 90s, we had Keenan Ivory Wayans on.
So which Wayans, he's missing Sean?
Sean, yeah.
So you've had all the other Wayans?
No, they were in town, and I know their publicist, so she was like, hey, do you want to do an interview with them? And I said, sure. And then he stood me up. It wasn't like I went out of my way. They came to me and then stood me up.
Which Wayan is this?
That's Marlon.
Yeah, Marlon, he was he was cooperative, but I think he was confused by our particular brand of comedy.
Yes, he did not understand it. You know how, especially with the holidays, they're doing it again with the Ring doorbells and all of that. You can catch the porch pirates. Where's that?
That's I'm trying to recover the computer from whatever Rob did.
And so these Ring doorbells are supposed to get these people that are stealing your packages.
Those cameras and those things are really good quality. Yeah.
They've stepped it up this holiday season for extra security so that you can get those people that that try to steal stuff on your porch.
Oh, that's probably another holiday package. I used to hurry to the doors so they wouldn't be stolen by porch pirates, but not anymore. Because now I have the new Porch Paralyzer. Developed by a high-tech secret lab at Guantanamo Bay, the Porch Paralyzer runs off your household current and attaches easily to a bank of stealth motion sensing cameras. So when someone steps onto your porch to swipe that Amazon box, instead of making off with the booty... That pirate's booty is zapped with 20,000 volts, leaving your deliveries untouched. Sometimes I leave a dummy box on the porch just for fun. Get the new Porch Paralyzer today. Just remember to disable it when your mother-in-law comes over for Christmas. Or not.
Need some holiday tips? I know one guy that can deliver.
Hello, I'm Morgan Freeman, here with a holiday tip. Now, when you're desperate to make conversation at a party, you can't go wrong with holiday trivia. For instance, did you know the first Christmas ornaments were ferret skulls hung by Bavarian lumberjacks to ward off evil spirits that may harm their lumber crop? Well, that's not true. But if you act like it is, who knows? You may have made a new buddy. Or not. Hey, what do I care? I'm Morgan Freeman, and I'm getting laid either way. Happy holidays.
Thank you, Morgan.
Well, that's what we've tried to teach people for years. People simply want answers. They don't care if it's the correct answer.
Right.
As long as you deliver an answer that's believable with conviction, they'll leave satisfied.
That's all they're looking for. This story's been making a lot of news. A 79-year-old woman named Ida Lianos has been a Delta flight attendant since 1962.
Oh, yeah.
She's 79 years old. They still put her on a flight as a flight attendant.
Why? That seems cruel.
Here's where she's made out like a bandit. Because of annual raises that the airline gives its employees at Delta, her salary, because she's worked so long, her salary is around $250,000 a year. She's worked 57 years for the airline. Every year they give you a little bump in salary. They don't expect you to be there for 57 years. She makes $250,000 a year.
You remember when they stopped giving us anything?
Yep.
Because our company was smart enough to realize, hey, they're sticking around too long. Yep. We got to put a stop to it.
Got to slow them down. She recently got fired, though. Why? Why would an employee of 57 years and making $250,000 fired?
I would guess the N-word.
No. For allegedly stealing a carton of milk and some cereal from a flight. Then figure out a way to get rid of her.
Oh, come on.
Now she is suing the airline. They said that the airlines really wanted to let her go because of her high salary because she stuck around so long. Let's hear what Ida has to say. There's a picture of her, Haney. There's Ida.
I did feel that I could take a carton of milk. And they accused me of taking 9 cereals. I am 85 pounds. I don't eat a lot. What would I do with 9 cereals? Somebody on the flight told me that you put Bailey's Irish Cream in your coffee. And I just laughed because I said, I don't drink at all. The newer flight attendants, they can hire four of those for what they would pay me. I try not to take it personally, but when you get mean and you start lying about me, then that is a problem.
Yep.
Well, if she was 50 years younger, Ida Dunner. Ida Dunner.
Oh, yeah. Because look at her. At 79, she still has that airline figure.
Yep.
She's not fat. She can still fit into the same flight attendant stewardess wear that she wore in 1962.
Excuse me, stewardess. Where is this flight heading? Idaho.
Do they have a picture of her, like, from the 60s, Rob, where she was probably pretty damn good looking in her day?
She had to be. That's when it was a requirement.
It was required. You better be pretty there. Well, not that pretty.
Yeah. You know, let's reserve judgment.
Yeah, let's not.
That's not the most flattering
photo. Yeah,
I'm sure
it's not the best one. Let's see. Okay. This Wausau, Wisconsin put a law, an ordinance on the books outlawing snowball fights. Now, hold on.
In Wisconsin?
Wait. The ordinance was interpreted wrong. They didn't want people, they would be breaking the law if kids, like when you and I were little,
and you
made a snowball and you'd chuck
somebody,
it at a car.
Well, we said peg them.
Yep.
Didn't we? Didn't you use that word?
Sure.
Peg them?
Yeah. Peg them right in the head.
Yep.
But someone saw the law and started going around, oh, Wausau, Wisconsin, where you can't even have a snowball fight. Well, town officials have had enough of that. They needed to clarify that the ordinance was not for snowball fights. Here's the mayor of Wausau, Wisconsin.
Hello, I'm Robert Melke, mayor of the great city of Wausau. Recently, a national magazine or media source had mentioned that Wausau is not a fun city.
This ordinance is in place for the safety of our community. Only on two occasions has it been used to address people throwing snowballs. The individuals throwing snowballs were throwing them at moving cars driving down the roadways. A fun snowball fight is a fun snowball fight, and that's not something we enforce this ordinance with.
We do like to have a great time here in the city of Wausau. There's a lot of good things in our city, great people, great employees, and a wonderful place to live.
Oh! That one got away from me.
Yep, and a vibrant Somali community.
Yep, that's what I understand.
Why?
Yeah, okay, look, I know that you don't want to be zinged with that, but it's a fact. You know, it's not something that was came in like throughout a left field, but it's true.
Mm-hmm. Diversity is our strength.
Yeah, in Wausau.
Vibrant.
Yeah. Sad news. Sad news. Sure, that's the only okay. Sesame Street legend Carol Spinney died. He was 85. Spinney was the man behind both Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch. He was with the Sesame Street crew since it started in 1969. He only retired last year. No word on the cause of death, but his family says he's been living with a movement disorder for a long time. But one of the most iconic voices in television and educational show history.
My name is Carol Spinney. Big Bird and Oscar are two of the most famous characters on planet Earth. Yet Carol, people don't know who he is.
How'd you get that job?
Jim Henson saw me performing.
Jim Henson was a true genius. The world was waiting for a change, I think, and we were part of it. But I was worried about doing good puppetry. I said, I'm not good enough to be a puppeteer.
You're a sweetheart!
No, I'm not. I'm terrible.
Big Bird and Oscar take us around the world.
This is the Great Wall of China.
Every time he mentioned Big Bird, the place erupted.
I mean, just look at the legacy. Carol's been doing it from day one.
The Daytime Emmy Lifetime Achievement Award.
Thank you, everybody.
Big Bird is the most well-known children's character in the world, and it's due to Carol.
All these decades of pure love, that, of course, is the true secret to Big Bird.
Yeah. So recognizable.
But so replaceable.
Yeah, well, they did it with Cookie Monster.
They do it with all of them.
Look at Mel Blanc. All the characters on the Looney Tunes. They farmed it out after he died. And you can tell the difference.
You're not supposed to be able to.
Well, little kids don't know it any better, but you and I, connoisseur of the Warner Brothers library, spot it. Steve Perry just released a music video for his version of Silver Bells.
Silver Bell, Silver Bell, Silver Bell, Silver Bell. It's Christmas time in the city. Ooh, ring-a-ling, hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day.
Unmistakable.
Yep.
Older, wiser, but you can still hear it.
Yep. I don't even want to play this little quiz thing with you, Haney, because I knew it right off the bat. You'd know it right off the bat. So we'll.
Well, you know it. I know it. The American people know it.
Rob, I'm going to play this quick game with you. You tell me the Christmas TV special. Put together a series of just sounds.
If this is what I think it is, he won't know.
No, you should be able to get it right off the bat.
I should, but should he?
It's a TV holiday special. Few sounds put together. You tell me what the Christmas special is, all right?
Sounds good.
All right, here you go. What Christmas special is this?
I quit.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
It is. Rudolph. The Red-Nosed Reindeer. I think he came to be Rudolph. He's not one of the eight tiny reindeer. Rudolph came to be in around World War II. Brought right over. I guess after the liberation, we grabbed him. Mm-hmm. Told him to come. Rudolph. And he's been a part of the United States ever since.
Yeah, and if you ever speak to him, he doesn't like to talk about his past.
No, he does not.
As far as he's concerned, you can ask him anything you want. Until you get to 1945.
Yep.
And then that's none of your business.
Yep. Don't go back any farther than that.
Don't ask questions you don't want to know the answer to.
And I'll tell you, a couple of the reporters try to zing him because he speaks English now fluently. But they'll go and, be walking down and then really turn to Rudolph real quick. Sprechen Sie Deutsch!
Yep.
To see if he responds, but he doesn't.
No, and every once in a while you'll catch him singing Edelweiss.
Yep. It's all right, Rudolph. You're an American now, and it's all right. When we come back, take your phone calls. Rob, if I can, a prize sheet, too, because we might give away some prizes during the open phones. But instead of Stan's local beat today, I came across, and you will love this, I came across some rock news that is very heartwarming and very good.
Legitimately heartwarming?
Legitimately heartwarming. A wrong has been righted.
Does it involve Ozzy?
In a way. We were talking about this gentleman just last week.
So it is what I think.
It is good.
And you got news.
I got news.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It is good, good news. A special edition
because I was
of Stan's Rock News.
I was hopeful that whoever perpetrated that evil did not realize who they were messing with.
I don't think they still realize who they're messing with, but there's good news. And when you find out why these things were missing, I'll save it for the air. Although I'm on the air now, but I'll save it for the next break.
Yeah, it all runs together, doesn't
it? 1 hour runs into the next.
And thanks for pushing all those buttons for me.
Rob, you'll admit this. Every damn button that I didn't think I'd need, and I'm pushing buttons left and right here. You'll admit that.
So much button pushing. Really, got those fingers really worked
out. It was crazy. And,
but you know what? Rob did a great job.
Yes, he did.
He actually listened to what I told him.
Yep.
And it
had it all there.
I think it came off well.
Yes. Oh, the whole thing came off well.
But it was too many buttons for you.
It was logistically absolutely ridiculous. And here's another thing, too. Waterman needs to learn to keep his mouth shut.
I know that you were very concerned that it might have gone too well and that I would want to use it all the time.
Well,
I wouldn't have to come in here.
The word I heard was, Haney had a twinkle in his eye. He needs to keep his mouth shut.
Twinkle?
Yeah.
A twinkle in my eye.
He's the only time all weekend long I saw a twinkle in his eye.
Who talks like that? That's
Dave.
That's like Dave. Santa, not Dave. Me. I don't have a twinkle. Ho, ho, ho.
He said for a second you did. Stan and Haney.
That when I let everybody in Whoville go?
Yeah, well, he has the problem. See, when we go into a commercial break or go into a song, and I have you guys down in queue.
That dog did look like the one from The Grinch.
Max?
Yeah, didn't it?
That
motel dog?
He talks too much.
He does, doesn't he?
Well,
what a champion, though.
Whatever. Fine. Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
The only radio show in history to escape from the jaws of a dinosaur. Only to meet a dishy brunette who breaks hearts like glass. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. By the way, tomorrow, all day, all the Beasley stations here, and that includes us, 96 K-Rock, going to be kicking off our Beasley Bike Drive, the second annual, right here at the Super Walmart on Estero Parkway in US 41 here in Estero, Florida. From the moment the sun comes up, even before the sun comes up, everybody's going to be over there. K-Rock employees, representatives from the US Marines and the official Toys for Tots truck will be on hand to accept, once again, bicycles, new unwrapped toys, cash, gift cards for the needy children in Southwest Florida. So last year was huge. This one's expected to be even bigger. If you want to know more about it, log on to 96krock.com or the K-Rock mobile app. 277-9600. I just may give away a pair of tickets to go see Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Poison, Joan Jett, and the Blackhearts at the Camping World Stadium. The tickets don't go on sale until Friday, but who knows? If I get a special call that comes in, I may give away those tickets. 277-9600. Half hour away from the Wayback Machine, and in a little while, roundtable discussion. Obviously, a lot of stuff going on in the news today. The IG report comes out.
Well, this is a report we've been waiting on seemingly forever, Stan.
Yeah, the impeachment hearings continuing in the House Judiciary Committee. We'll be joined for a roundtable discussion. Mark Haney will be here. Brett Baer. I will be here, of course. Stan and Brian Kilmeade, as we'll have a roundtable discussion.
This is certainly an historic day,
yeah.
And we'll have full coverage.
Full coverage, as well as a special event that they're going to be a part of in Southwest Florida in the new year. Very big things happening. Local beat. Not local beat, rock beat. I've been doing a special
rock
one
beat?
Today. This is the rock beat. Stan's Rock
this is
News.
This is a segment that I think Dave made famous, Rock News.
Yeah.
And it didn't go very well for him.
No. This one will go better. Usually I do the local beat. Today it's a special Rock News in this section, and it's about Randy Rhoads, former guitarist with Ozzy, and a very upsetting story that has finally a good side
and,
to it.
You know, Randy Rhoads was only on this earth for a couple of years.
Yep.
And you talk about making the most of it. And a lot of people wonder, how did Randy Rhoads get so good? Well, music was something that he grew up with.
Yep.
It was something in his family.
Yep.
He was a fully trained classical guitarist. I think by the age of 9, he had mastered classical guitar. So he was really a true prodigy.
Let me do this story, then we'll get to some phone calls. 277-9600. This is good news. Many of the Randy Rhoads-themed items stolen from a Los Angeles music school have been recovered.
A music school started by his mother.
I'll get there.
These little bastards stealing from them.
NBC Los Angeles says a woman named Bobby Fredericks, spelled funny, spotted the items in a North Hollywood, California dumpster while she...
What?
Follow me. Discovered the items in a North Hollywood, California dumpster while she was walking her dog on Saturday. She said, "I knew in my gut something was wrong. I brought everything in from the rain and called the police. The bin... The garbage bin contained 40 years worth of photos and fan gifts that were taken on Thanksgiving night from the Musonia School of Music. Rhoads taught guitar at the school, which was founded by his mother, Dolores. Police also recovered a trumpet that had been given to Dolores when she was a child. The trumpet is valuable because it's my grandmother's," said Randy's nephew. "She passed away recently. It's her legacy." Randy's first electric guitar, a 1963 Harmony Rocket, remains missing. Former bandmate Ozzy Osbourne has offered $25,000 for any information that leads to the recovery of the items and the arrest of those responsible. The school became something of a pilgrimage to his fans from all over the world, Osbourne wrote. "It's a place where the Rhoads family happily opened their hearts to share the life of Randy. As you can imagine, the items that were stolen, including Randy's first electric guitar, are irreplaceable to the Rhoads family. It is unknown if the other pieces of musical equipment, including a PV amplifier from the 1970s and prototype for a signature Marshall head, were included in the batch that was found. They still haven't gone through all of it. It was all sitting in a dumpster."
Who would do that?
I don't know. That's sick. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Hello, this is Tom.
Tom?
Where are you from, Tom?
Where are you from?
Lastly, Melbourne.
Australia?
Yeah, an FIT graduate.
Ah.
What?
Have you ever been to Pensacola?
Mother Tucker, I used to work there on the base.
Oh, you don't say.
Ah.
I'm like, my stomach is going, I'm clenched.
You're what?
My throat is clenched that I was looking at the list of who was killed.
Yeah. It's a horrible, horrible thing.
I worked in Palm Bay when, Palm Bay and Melbourne, when Reagan said, take down this wall. And then.
Yeah. I was in Palm Bay, too, when Reagan said that.
I think we all were.
We are all in Palm Bay at that time. But I think America was in Palm Bay.
I got married and...
What?
I got married. I worked as an engineer...
In Palm Bay.
At the Navy base.
In Pensacola?
In Pensacola and...
Did you have clearance?
I had total clearance.
Okay,
and
just
everyone,
checking.
Everyone who would see me and my buddy in the truck... I used to work from 2 o'clock till 6 o'clock.
Two o'clock.
You don't say. Me too.
Yeah, that's when we worked 2 to 6.
No, I worked 2 a.m.
2 a.m. to 2:30 a.m.
I worked 70 hours a week, and when I would see people, they were like mafioso, whatever.
Oh, the mafioso.
I'm like
La Costa Nostra.
I'm here. The Costa Nostra.
Oh, yeah.
Exactamundo. I would be like, I'm here to make sure no one dies. I'm making sure that the concrete and...
You did a whole lot. Yes, you did.
Everything is like...
I'm proud of you.
I was there so no one dies. I'm like,
yep.
I used to eat at the officers' club.
And you weren't allowed in the officers' club.
Boy, I was. They loved me there, and we would talk.
Would you put a song and dance?
Shut up, buddy.
Tell
me to shut up.
So, Tom, you were in an area where officers and civilians could mingle freely.
Yeah,
I used to drive by to get to see the Blue Angels. And there were a lot of guys with their guns, shooting rings, and then I'd go and see the Blue Angels and say,
"I've seen the Blue Angels."
Can I take some pictures with you?
No, you really can't. I prefer no pictures.
No photos.
No photos, please.
The great Randy Rhodes. Listen to this.
Ahoy.
Ahoy. You know, I'm not sure I can follow that last phone call.
Yeah, that's a brilliant man. That's Tom from Melbourne.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Mm. But I got one question. One question if they're out there. Maybe a question of the week. I don't know, but... If you already know where somebody's at, why are you going to call them up and ask them where they're at?
What?
Give
me an example.
My supervisor just drove by. I knew it was him. He calls me a minute later and asks me where I'm at. Well, he can clearly see where I'm
you
at.
You saw
and I'm
him.
Up there
Did
helping.
He see you?
Well,
most likely did.
It might be a passive-aggressive situation.
Yeah.
Oh, they're after me. I mean, they are
right
really,
there.
Really after me.
What's
after
the last thing
years?
They did to you?
Yeah, they're watching you.
But he's not afraid.
No.
God bless you.
I'm not afraid.
God bless you. Keep up the good work.
You can guarantee that.
Roger that.
2779600.
Here's another one Randy did.
Yeah. May have heard of it. Ahoy.
Ahoy, gentlemen.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tom from Naples.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing? Yeah, I've talked to you a couple times. My family lives in Simsbury.
Connecticut?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, I am also the veteran who won the tickets to the Everblades game for Veterans Day.
Yes,
oh,
sir.
Yeah.
And I lost... the name of the company that donated it, because I wanted to write them a little thank you note.
I'll get it for you.
We'll send you over to Rob.
Awesome.
He'll figure it out.
Yeah, we're going to send you over to Rob. I'll get it for you. Hold on.
Thank you.
Rob loves us, doesn't he?
Yeah. You remember the name of that company, right?
Yeah, you better.
Yeah, I prefer not to say it on the
yeah, but right. Yeah, I'm sure you were burned into your head.
Yeah. You go ahead and handle that guy.
Boy, we're rolling today.
Darn
those
right.
Phones are hot.
Yeah. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Al.
What?
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
I'll see you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. I'll be out seeing you by the door.
Amen. What? You're seeing me by the door?
Yeah, at Walmart.
Oh, please stop by tomorrow. Bring donate some stuff.
No, I'll be working there at 10 o'clock.
You're working there at Walmart?
What department?
Out front there.
Out front.
Okay.
What? Okay.
Bye bye.
See ya. See ya. See ya soon.
Just smoking, man.
Yeah.
Just one after another.
Absolute Law text line list. Interesting set of listeners. Made my Monday a little better. These callers that you've been having. Yeah.
See, I told you we're on fire. En fuego. Everything's great.
Damn, looks like those tickets ain't going this hour.
Nope.
All right, we're going to do the Wayback Machine.
That would be for the best.
Yes. We're going to take a look at what was on the Billboard charts this very week in a particular year. Today, we're looking at the bottom of the top 10, 10 through 6, that were on the pop charts this very week. We'll tell you what year we're going to when we come back. Special edition of the Wayback Machine, because later on today, Haney and I, Stan and Haney, will be joined by Brett Baer and Brian Kilmeade live on the show. We're Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
More fun than a Soviet-style gulag without food, running water, or a working toilet. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us Monday afternoon. We'll jump into the Wayback Machine here in just a second, about 30 minutes away from your first look at traffic news headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails 1 hour from now. Stan and Haney will be joined by Brett Baer and Brian Kilmeade.
Day with the IG report, and we felt like we owed you full team coverage.
Yep, so we're bringing in the heavy hitters. The four-man team of Brett Baer, Stan Nowalonic, Brian Kilmeade, and Mark Haney.
Full team coverage.
Also, they're doing a big event in Naples.
Yeah,
the first
might
of the
be
year.
The reason they're coming out.
And you know what? They're going to be kind of regulars with us, and hopefully in January, we're going to get them into the studio. But we hopefully, over the next few weeks, we'll be joined by Shannon Bream, who will be coming on the show.
That'll be just lovely.
And also, and you often wondered, who is this guy? You see him on Fox quite a bit, is Chris Starwald, who will, he's a pollster and uses a lot of humor when he's looking at all of this stuff going on. And hopefully he will be joining us in the coming weeks. All this leading to a big event that is going to be in Naples in January of 2020. And so we'll keep you posted on that. They'll talk a little bit about that. But both of them have brand new books out. Both of them are up to date on what's going on in Washington, D.C. and the ridiculousness that's happening there.
I do have one question for you before we proceed, Stan.
Yes.
Do I look 10 years younger?
You look great. Rob, how does he look without that beard? Pretty damn good, doesn't he?
Doesn't look like he's aged a bit.
What? Does he look younger?
Yeah, younger,
okay,
without
good.
The beard.
Yeah.
Well, out of respect to my daughter, I shaved it.
Takes about 30 years off you.
So you mean that?
I do mean it.
You don't just say it when
no.
I have a beard.
No.
So I'm 10 years younger now.
Easily. Easily. Oh, you want to get in? Right, Dave? Right,
no,
Dave?
I agree.
Right, Dave.
I agree, man.
Okay.
Okay.
It frightened him.
Yeah.
Because we were in the hotel room, and he'd gone out on some errand or another. And while he was gone, I shaved the beard.
You copped a shave.
Yeah. And when he came back in, he was stunned.
Yeah.
He was frightened.
Yep.
Thought there was an intruder.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's.
Who is this young guy?
Yeah. Jeez. What did you do with Haney? Let's find out where we're going.
Peabody and Sherman here. The Wayback Machine, my incomparable invention for traveling through time, has been set for the year.
This week in 1974.
Remember, you heard it.
Bottom of the top 10. 10 through 6.
Now let's
live it up. Paul McCartney, Wings, a single release, not on an album, Junior's Farm.
It's not Venus and Mars, but it's okay.
Yeah. Came out just before Venus and Mars. Right after Red Rose Speedway.
Playing lead for McCartney.
Yeah, where'd that go?
The internet coming in and out? Where's Dave? Did he do something?
He cut the wires. There we go. Hey!
Yeah, internet went out.
2019, everybody. Junior's Farm. Elton John said we'll do Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Had a friend do it with him. John Lennon.
Did you see Bernie Taupin's wife is now selling Bernie's handwritten lyrics to Elton's hits?
Whoa! They got to be going for a fortune.
Yep. I guess she's finally cashing in. She's supposed to make millions off it. And the article talking about how she was the tiny dancer. Well, that was written directly about her.
Wow.
And she is actually given co-writers credit on the bitch's back because she coined that phrase when Elton showed up at their house one day
the
bitching
bitch's
and moaning.
Back.
Yep. But it's weird to see him written down.
There's Elton and John Lennon.
This is weird. Why did he do this?
John Lennon hadn't had a number one hit since he broke up with the Beatles. Elton John was in the studio, asked him if he could do Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds and help him on it. And he said, I'll reciprocate. I'll do a song with you on your album, and it'll be number one. And it was John Lennon's first number one with Elton John.
What was?
Whatever gets you through the night.
Oh, okay. So it was a quid pro quo.
Yes, it was a quid pro quo.
That was a quid pro quo.
I'll go on your song that you're remaking of mine, and you come on my song. And so give me a number one.
So they both interfered in our elections.
Yes. It was a pure quid pro quo. Elton John guaranteed him he'd have a number one song. If it went to number one, John Lennon had to go on stage with him and sing.
Did he?
And he did.
So he kept his word.
He did.
So, whatever gets you through the night, who wrote that?
John Lennon wrote it. I don't know if he got co-writing with Elton.
But Elton punched it up for him?
Yep.
Doing a little rigamon.
Yeah. John, number nine this week in 1974, the Reverend Al Green comes in at number eight. Sha la la.
That is it. Ah, I have internet.
Makes me happy.
Now, hopefully, it can buffer it enough where we don't notice. I'm sure that's what Al had in mind when he wrote this song. What a sound.
He had a distinct sound.
Takes you right back to the early 70s. I've been gone so long, I know what to do. Oh, baby. That I know you don't know. One of the few artists where you say there's nothing like him.
Nothing like him. Unique.
People have
good.
Tried to imitate him, but you can't. like those horns are going sha-la-la. Sha-la-la. Right there.
That's the Reverend Al Green, number 8, this very week in 1974. We go from Al Green to the big man, Barry White. Coming in at number 7, you're my first, my last, my everything.
The great
Barry White.
You said it too fast. I was trying to kill time.
There we go. There we go.
Yeah. Limping right on home.
Yep. The man was 500 pounds, but light on his feet.
Cat-like.
Yeah. Talked about love, but couldn't see his own.
What?
One hell of a voice, though.
And a great arranger.
Oh, yes. Listen to that music.
All those strings and everything. He did that.
The Love Unlimited Orchestra.
Indeed.
So many things. I love so new. Only you could bring.
There's a lot of stuff going on there.
You're my reality. Yet I'm lost in every. You're the first, the last, my everything.
Yeah, he heard all this in his head and then had to make it happen.
Yep. Brilliant. Close to 600 pounds.
Supple muscle.
Yeah, well.
Although he couldn't see his own.
He couldn't see his love. And little lady feet. So light. Wonder if him and Mama Cass ever danced together.
Boy, that would be a sight, wouldn't it?
Girl, you're my reality. I'm lost in a dream. You're the first, you're the last, my everything.
Oh.
Poor man couldn't see his own love.
Nope. Looked down and just saw belly. The last one we're going to take a look at today, number 6. On the pop charts this day in 1974, a little group called BT Express. Do it till you're satisfied.
What does BT stand for?
I don't know.
Ooh. I wanna do it.
Do it.
Do it till you're satisfied.
Whatever it is.
Do it.
Whatever it is.
Do it.
It is.
Do you satisfy?
part of the Brooklyn sound of the early 70s. Formed from three players of the group King Davis House Rockers. The House Rockers were a local dance band and had released a couple of obscure singles. The three players, guitarist Richard Thompson, tenor sax player Bill Risebrook, and alto sax player Carlos Ward, whatever it is, formed the Madison Street Express. They did so along with bassist Louis Risebrook, but he turned Muslim and changed his name to Jamal Rasool.
Oh, no. You can't groove like that.
BT stands for Brooklyn Transit.
A long way to get there, but worth it.
Yeah. Just hold that note, brother. Hold it.
That's all you've got to do.
Hold that note.
Guitar.
Yeah, they got him turned way down. Got those saxes turned up.
Yep.
By the way, the number one song in the land, Kung Fu Fighting by Carl Douglas.
Of course it was.
We're going to take a break.
Number one in any year.
We'll check traffic. News headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock
why
fluffer.
Why have the lead guitar in there if you can't hear it?
Emails. Brent Baer, Brian Kilmeade later on in the 4 o'clock hour.
Roundtable discussion.
For Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
The radio miracle so powerful it can strip paint. Yet so gentle it's been approved by the FDA for use in baby food. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. We're going to get you updated on traffic news headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer. Your emails. In about a half hour, a little less than a half hour, Brett Baer, Brian Kilmeade will be joining us via the phone talk about something that's happening down in Naples first part of the year, but also they got two new books out and obviously a lot of stuff happening today in Washington, D.C. Let me somebody's been just sitting on hold here. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, guys, it's Forrest.
Ahoy. Hey, Forrest.
I just wanted to say thank you very much for the Wayback Machine every Monday. You guys bring back a lot of great memories for me, and
me
I
too.
Really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Forrest, you're welcome. It does the same thing for Annie and I.
And Merry Christmas. I'm not going to give you that Happy Holidays crap. It's Merry Christmas, and
yes,
you guys
indeed.
Be safe.
Thank you, Forrest. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah. And we mentioned it last week. I've noticed it more this year where the fight isn't about Merry Christmas anymore. It's just, let's remove all mention of Jesus.
Yep, that's
let's
the big
not,
thing.
Those Christmas carols don't work anymore. Let's go with the chestnuts and
yep.
snowmen.
Yep.
Just nothing with Jesus in
let's
it.
Ease back on that.
Yeah.
Try to do it without being noticed.
No Silent Night, no O Holy Night,
nope.
No All Come All Ye Faithful,
no.
None of that.
That don't work.
Focus on reindeer.
Let's get
and
you.
You know what? I don't care about reindeer and snowmen. That's fine.
Yeah, but they got to include it.
That's part of it.
Yep. You're right. Traffic this half hour brought to you by nobody. Hold on. That's the wrong one. No traffic sponsor. It's available. let's see. North Fort Myers got a crash. Pine Island Road and Woodward Avenue. And in Fort Myers, crash, Bass Road and South Health Park Drive. And you are up to date. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it'll be the newscast of record. with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. He is the news. What can you expect? Well, he's about ready to tell you because he's got today's headlines.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Okay.
You know what? There's a little something that we have learned about women.
They're all crazy and capable of anything.
And pretty much the entire newscast today will highlight that fact. A female judge in Kentucky is facing misconduct charges for having threesomes in her office and suggesting an orgy.
Yeah, she looked like a fun judge.
An NFL Network and CBS sports reporter, Jane Slater of Dallas, would like you to know she caught her ex cheating when she noticed unusual activity on his Fitbit.
Ah. What is she looking at his Fitbit?
Oh, well, I told you that was devil. I refused to participate. Well, here we are in Clearwater again.
Oh, jeez.
A woman attacked her boyfriend with an artificial Christmas tree. And finally, a woman gets into a fight over taking home leftovers from Friday's all-you-can-eat appetizers. These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. I told you that back in the day, probably about 15, 20 years ago, when all the restaurants were starting to get really conscious about happy hours and drink prices, they wanted to combat that to help with drunk driving. So what they did was make happy hour where you can get, little heavy hors d'oeuvres and chicken nuggets and things like that. And people just used to come in, scarf it all down and leave.
Yeah, where it's, meant to be like old school, they had peanuts there.
Yep.
And now they put apps, but it's being abused.
Yeah, people ruined it. Laughter. Oh, we can use some laughter. We can. Oh, man. 4 o'clock fluffer brought to you by Firehouse Subs, Fort Myers, Cape Coral. Mark.
Stan.
Everyone.
Honey,
do you want to play on
go
this
ahead.
Day? You, Dave. Dave.
Woo!
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Haney.
Jeez. Honey, I'm home.
That was a lot of work.
Yeah.
Hi.
Because who knows what he's doing? He's just sitting there with headphones on, off in a daze.
I have been doing a lot of
whatever.
Work.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies.
Hi.
Yeah, I have my suspicions. even with the convenience of online Christmas shopping, many people still make time for a visit to the mall.
They sure do.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
tips for Christmas shopping at the mall.
Tips for Christmas shopping at the mall.
Buy everyone a gift card and go home. If you just need some peace and quiet, stop by the Sears.
Yep.
For a lot of gentlemen, just being inside a Victoria's Secret is as close as they'll get to any action whatsoever. Indeed.
Yep.
Top tips for Christmas shopping at the mall.
Yes.
Step one, find a mall that's still open.
Yep.
Although I like those abandoned malls. They're fun.
Yeah. A lot of space.
Yep. You never know what you'll find.
Yep. The Oldsmobiles are in.
Yep. Pier 1 Imports. The cleanest restroom is always the men's room at the craft store.
Yep.
Oh, boy. And finally, the very top tip for Christmas shopping at the mall.
Yes.
Mess with the sweater display at the Gap. The eye rolls from millennial sales associates are priceless.
Yeah. First of all, let me thank Hillary Clinton.
I bet you owe her a few. Most corrupt congresswoman ever.
Shut up, go!
Oh, for crying out loud.
Shut up, go!
Shut up, go!
Jeez.
Yeah.
My friends is.
That's enough. We don't need any more of that.
Four o'clock.
Yeah, thank you, Stan.
So shame on you,
stop
Barack
it.
Obama.
Oh, my God.
Email ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Well, huh.
Okay.
This is from Tom in Port Charlotte. Hey, guys, you're having Brian Kilmeade come on today. Let him know that you have a listener who really enjoyed his book on Thomas Jefferson and the Barbary Pirates. Great book. He's got a new book out now about the Alamo. Skip writes in, I heard Haney and Dave talking about where they were staying. I call it a dump. They were at the Roadway Inn.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Get rid of that one. Right next to the dog room. ladies and gentlemen, the Guardian.
Jesus.
I think I got one here also from Meg.
Oh, how is Meg?
I don't know. Let me see. Hold on. She's fine, I think. Hold on. I moved stuff around. No, that ain't it. I'll find it later.
That's what she said.
Yep. Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, I am watching the hearings, and so far it's nothing more than a waste of time. Yes.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting how big the divide is between the left and the right. Of course, all I'm hearing from the left is the repeating of so many lies. It's disgusting. You can just hear the hate they have for Trump. Oh, they are trying to make it all sound all official, but if you really listen, you will hear the truth. This is just another attempt to get rid of Donald Trump. So, Democrats, your tactics will not work. I can't wait until the IG report is out. Well, it's out now, Guardian. Very light. I guess I'll have to wait until tomorrow to read it all. You guys are the best. Signed, The Guardian.
Jesus.
And The Guardian, I know you will want to stay tuned because we will have full team coverage of the IG report coming up in just minutes.
We will be joined, of course, Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney, will be here. Brian Kilmeade. I will also be joining in on the debate along with Brett Baer. And that'll be coming up in just a few minutes. I want to see how the where's... Oh, yeah, here it is. I found Meg's. She's doing fine, by the way, Haney.
Oh, that's good.
I'm doing
know.
Okay, is what she said.
That is wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Meg. You know I worry.
I'm in Alabama. It's 39 degrees. Congratulations to your daughter getting married, Haney.
Oh, it was.
I hope it wasn't too cold when you gave your daughter away this weekend.
No, the weather for the actual wedding was perfect. We did it around 2 in the afternoon. The sky was blue. It was nice and crisp. You couldn't ask for a better day.
Well, as you saw last week, another Democrat has dropped out of the race. You got Skater Beto and Kamala the plagiarist. Now we have a new nut entering the race, Bloomberg. did you know he spent taxpayer dollars to make a how-to brochure on using heroin safely?
Come on, that's made
this
up.
This doesn't make Come any on, sense.
That can't have happened,
you,
Stan.
You can't have...
Stan, is it, that true?
It is. You can't have big gulps or two-liter sodas, but we'll give you a how-to on using heroin and tug on Biden's leg. I'm sure they would use... They could use a good wax. Love the show, sign me. All right, we're going to be back. When we come back, scheduled to appear, Brett Baer, Brian Kilmeade, joining Haney and Company. We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
We couldn't be more proud to work for the Beasley Media Group. And we'd like to thank them for the indoor plumbing and the microphones. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciated. About 30 minutes away from Mark Haney and the news. We'll get you updated here on traffic. We're locking things down right now with Brett Baer, who is on set right now at Fox News. And with all the stuff going on today,
yeah, it could happen at any time. Day.
Very busy. And we'll hopefully have our buddy Brian Kilmeade on shortly. Let me check traffic just for a quick second. One thing on the board, and then we'll get to Brett Baer. All right, it's North Fort Myers still working that crash. Pine Island Road and Woodward Avenue, and you are up to date. We see him every night on Fox News, and he has a new book out, 3 Days at the Brink, FDR's Daring Gamble to Win World War II. It's part of his three-day series, and he's going to be a part of something really big down in Naples, we'll tell you about, early next year, early in January. It is a pleasure to have Brett Baer on the phone with us. Brett, welcome to the Stan and Haney Show.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing good. I know for a fact that you hang out in this area quite a bit, and we're just pleased to have you on the show today.
Well, thanks for having me. Getting ready to spend some time down there over the holidays, and then we have a big event coming up in January.
Yeah, and thanks for joining us, especially on such a busy news day.
Well, I'm still sitting on the set watching this hearing. I've been here since 8:30 this morning, and obviously we pop in when they take breaks, and so I still wanted to talk to you guys before the next break.
Absolutely.
Much appreciated.
It's been a busy day with the IG report and all the impeachment stuff as well.
I gotta ask you, Brett, and hold on a second. I think your buddy Brian Kilmeade is on the other line here. Let me see if Brian's Brian, are you there?
Yep.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Say hi to Brett Baer. He's on the other line.
Hi, Brian.
Well, Brett, it hurts my feelings. Okay, so now I know what's important. We have you booked for our show. Thank you for a lot of loyalties. So you blow us off.
I was literally talking on the air at the time. That shot was.
But I'm just going to need a note. I'm going to need some type of note and confirmation.
Some kind of note.
I got to ask, and I got you both, but I'll ask you, Brett. The IG report comes out. It is not as damning as we thought it was going to be, and then I hear that Durham goes and blasts the report. What's going on? Nobody to blame now?
Well, it's fascinating. I mean, the top line of the report says there wasn't political bias in the decision to launch the FISA investigation against Carter Page, the launch of the investigation. But if you look in the report, it's not as clean as everybody may have said at the beginning. There's a ton of stuff that the FBI kind of screwed up on every level of filing some of these requests for investigations. So you dig in there. Pete Williams with NBC said it's kind of devastating for the FBI at every level. So it's not... It's a lot, you know, it's not what President Trump said it was at the beginning, but it definitely has some serious things for the FBI to look at. Now, what Durham put out and what the Attorney General put out is that they disagree with the conclusion that there was not political bias at the beginning and how the IG gets to that conclusion. So we don't know what that means. I think the Attorney General is going to speak out about it this week. And soon, I assume, John Durham, the U.S. prosecutor, is going to come out with his findings.
Brian, do you have any comment about what happened with the IG report today?
Well, I mean, Brett and I are going to do the same thing. Brett's going to do it better and more incisive, but I'm going through every single page. And what I'm going through now shows some things that are a little bit disturbing and make no sense. For example, Peter Strzok was the one charged, but he had people he had to answer to. Yes, he had political bias, but there's no proof it played a role. Really? Okay. So you're in those meetings. You're in those meetings, and you found out that what Peter Strzok felt, it didn't come out. No, they weren't in the meeting. They just said that there's no proof that what Peter Strzok felt, which we all know because of his text messages, didn't come out in the decision. They point out that Bill Precept was his supervisor, and he was really in charge. Well, the way Peter Strzok made it seem, he was really in charge. Now, also the Carter Page Papadopoulos, Michael Flynn.
Yeah, the vendetta against Flynn, and I haven't had a chance to read this whole thing, but it seems like they were really out to get this guy.
They were. I just see, look at this in the big picture. And I don't want to lose people because we do it every day and nobody knows it like Brett. But some of these names don't mean anything to anyone. What I'm trying to say is those four names are not enough to upend a presidential election. And I'm just wondering, are there any guardrails where people say, who the hell is Carter Page? Has he ever met President Trump? Who is Papadopoulos? Is he a major guy overseas? You know, Paul Manafort's a guy that came from Eastern Europe back to America to work for Trump for free for a short period of time. Who's to think those Russian links play a role in this? And Michael Flynn, my goodness, he's coming off a significant position, just retired. Brett, you did one of the most interesting interviews with Michael Flynn when he came out of the Obama administration. This guy, in his book, he condemns Russia. I mean, if you did any research on Michael Flynn, you would not think he'd be the last man in the country to sell out his country for Russian influence. And to think that they would try to destroy Donald Trump on these four people is nuts.
Brett?
If you hear anybody say in the media that this is a total exoneration for the FBI, they're wrong. That's not this report. This report says that the IG found that the FISA application and the investigation, all of the filings had inaccuracies, a lot of them. They were incomplete. They were unsupported. And they used what the IG calls a completely disregarded Steele dossier. That's not, you know, some pundit saying that. That's the IG. I think you're going to see a lot more digging into the 434 pages over the next day or so.
Yeah, it just came out. I haven't even had a chance to read it. Do you know, Brett, offhand, if the IG report touches on the great work that Admiral Rogers did on FISA abuse before any of this other stuff was going on?
I haven't read anything about Admiral Rogers in the report. I've gotten through about 300 pages of it as I'm sitting here listening to the impeachment hearing go on. So I don't know. And you're right, he did. And I interviewed Admiral Rogers. I talked to him before he left, and he was really concerned about it. Clearly, Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, has got a whole list of things that he's going to have to attack when it comes to FISA big picture. But I think John Durham is going to go more specifically to the origins. Mm-hmm. Remember, the IG could only talk to people who were in government. There's a lot more leeway that Durham, as U.S. prosecutor, has to investigate.
I want to ask both of you guys, and Brian Kilmeade, you brought it up in that last conversation. Brett, feel free to comment on it as well. When you go and explain this stuff to the American people, and we are so divided as a country, and you hear this chain of names, and to the average mom and popper that will just want to have dinner at night, get to work, get their kids taken care of, all these names, it becomes very confusing to them. And I can understand some people that don't watch Fox News every day or don't pick up a tablet every day to read the news off online. They're confused as hell about this stuff.
Just know this. You just want to wonder why you launched an investigation into Donald Trump and didn't give him a briefing unless you thought he was a suspect. And in this report, Bill Priestep says, I thought about telling Donald Trump there might be some people working for you that are associated with Russia and were concerned. At what time, you know, as soon as this story popped up in the New York Times, Paul Manafort was fired the next day. He would have dealt with it directly because I don't believe, and I don't know, if, I don't want to put words in Brett's mouth, that Donald Trump was working for Russia. I still don't. There may be some people that do. They said, Bill Priestep, I thought I was going to give the president, the candidate, a briefing. And then I thought, well, if I give him a briefing, I might tip off somebody that's working for him who is actually with Russia. So I decided not to. Man, that's a big leap, especially with Chris Christie and his Justice Department of Justice background. You could go, hey, Chris, I need to speak to you a second. I'm going to need to speak to the candidate, but let me tell you why. Here's how to do it. They would have walked in, you got, and Christie would have said, you blow out Manafort. I need an explanation from Michael Flynn. Who is Papadopoulos and Carter Page? You know what Donald Trump would have said? I don't know.
And, you know, I've noticed.
This whole thing could have been stopped.
I've noticed recently, and I think Lindsey Graham has done the best job of it, pointing out that Dianne Feinstein had an actual Chinese spy working directly for her.
Yep.
Jeez.
And I mean, there's a lot of hypocrisy up on Capitol Hill, and which is why I think it's, guys, the big picture here, it's been harder for Democrats to convince moderate Democrats and maybe middle-of-the-road Republicans about this impeachment push. It's been harder because after 2.5 years of making the case on Russia collusion, and it didn't materialize, and really you had people like Adam Schiff coming out saying he had definitive evidence. And direct evidence,
yep.
And now he's that pitching this impeachment, it's tougher to move the needle. Now, that's not to say that nothing was done wrong in all of this as the impeachment process goes on, but when you're talking about moving votes or moving the American people, they're just tired after 2.5 years.
Well, I remember, yeah. And I could be wrong, but I don't think I am, Nancy Pelosi's first statement on why are you going for impeachment now is because she felt that this was easier to sell to the American people, that they can understand this more than any of the other stuff.
Yeah, I think you're, I mean, you're right. She also said at the beginning that she wanted it to be bipartisan.
Mm-hmm. And the only, overwhelmingly.
The only bipartisan thing was the inquiry vote against it.
I want to talk to, go ahead, Brian.
I got to do the five, but I do want to say this, if we can get it in, if the hearings wrap up, but I just want to say this. I'm thrilled to be going down to your neck of the woods because after years of lobbying, I finally made the all-star panel.
Yeah.
For this great
and I'm going to talk about that. And I want to talk to Brian. You know, of course, you've become a friend over the years. You're a three-timer on the show. You've sat in the studio with us, and I had the distinct pleasure when you were at Leah Party's to introduce you to a big crowd of people there when you were talking about your Andrew Jackson book. And, oh, by the way, your Sam Houston Alamo book, phenomenal as it continues. I mean,
that's an incredible story.
And I know that you're very busy. And Brett, you've got your 3 Days series going out. These are two bestsellers, by the way. 3 Days on the Brink, FDR's Daring Gamble to Win World War II. Fascinating stuff. Fascinating.
Been a lot of fun, you know. It's you know, Brian, you know, beat me. He got to number two. I just got to number three. So I try to get on his show as much as I can.
Now I got to talk about. Go ahead, Brian.
I just wait to if you can, if there's a way to inform your audience when we're gonna be coming back down there.
Yeah, I got it I'll all in front of
my
me.
My daughter's soccer tournament in Disney, so I'm just gonna drive down and meet everybody. And I just can't wait to be a part of it, especially for the great cause and that hospital that really saved your son's life, Brett.
Yes.
And to be able to continue to bolster that up for people to have that same opportunity that you and your family had.
Brian, if you're coming down, do you want to stay at Haney's place?
No, you know what? I want the hotel that Brett's in.
Yeah, we've got him set up.
Let me explain this. Brett Baer is heading this thing up with an all-star panel. This is going to be cool, and we're going to be checking in with you guys and a few others leading up to this. It's an all-star panel. It's going to happen on Saturday, January 18th. at the Ritz-Carlton Golf Resort, and it is a night dedicated to improving the lives of patients and their families at Children's National Hospital. And as Brian alluded to, Brett, you owe a lot to the Children's National Hospital because they helped your son, Paul.
Yeah, he's had 3 open heart surgeries and 9 angioplasties, and he is the tallest kid in his class. And Children's does amazing stuff for not only kids in this region but around the world on research for pediatric heart and cancer and all kinds of things. But this event is a ton of fun. I know Brian has to go because he's on the 5. So, but it's allstarpanelevent.com, allstarpanelevent.com. You can get tickets there. It is Brian, Molly Hemingway, me, Shannon Bream, and Chris Dierwalt. We're going to do a panel of kind of behind the scenes covering Washington and covering the world, and then we're going to take Q&A, pictures, and we've got an auction that items you would not believe that you can't get anyplace else.
And I know that we're going to be checking in with both of you guys and leading up. Hopefully we can get Shannon Bream on this show. She's a beautiful and one hell of a smart person when it comes to the Supreme Court.
She is. And she's much better than us.
Guys, I thank you so much. We're going to be talking to you soon.
Yeah, this is going to be great.
This is going to be a fun time, and both Hanny and I will come and see you when you're in town again. Congratulations also on the books. They're doing a phenomenal job, and we're all proud of you over there at Fox.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, guys. We'll thanks for doing it. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. There they go. Brett Baer and Brian Kilmeade. These guys are good. These guys know their
stuff.
And
I don't feel so bad now knowing that Brett Baer is only 300 pages into it because it only came out at noon and I didn't have time to read it all. Normally, you know, unredacted single space, that's me.
Yeah, now we didn't get a whole lot to talk about what they're doing. This, you can go to this event. You got to go and check it out. It is a 5-star event.
But it's not until January, we got time.
January 18th. Now, Brett Baer is the one that's spearheading this. 12 days after his son Paul was born, he had open-heart surgery at Children's National. The 5-hour procedure was one of the top 5 most difficult surgeries ever done by the chief of cardiovascular surgery. It was such a touch-and-go thing, and it was a success. And Brett and the gang from Fox want to go and put together an all-star panel with the proceeds. You say, oh, this is going to be pretty expensive, and all proceeds will go to help the hospital. And again, Shannon Bream is going to be there. Chris Dierwalt is going to be there. Brian Kilmeade is going to be there. Molly Hemingway is going to be there, as well as Brett Baer. And if you want information on it, go right to the website, allstarpanelevent.com. Allstarpanelevent.com. These guys, hopefully, when the event gets closer, will be in the studio with us, and we'll have a few other Fox people coming on, talking with us in the coming weeks about what's going on. These guys know exactly what's going on. They're going over the IG report. And as Brett Baer said, don't let anybody fool you if you're watching on another channel that there's nothing bad in this report.
Well, and it's another thing that I think Lindsey Graham does a good job of explaining things. And he said, you know what, we're going to have the Inspector General in front of our committee. By then, you've had a couple of days to digest the report, and then it will become much clearer what's in it.
All right, we're going to take a break. Mark Haney and the news is next. We're Stan and Haney, 96K Ron.
Hi, everybody. This is your buddy Mickey Rooney. You're listening to Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
I really am a mean and despicable creature at heart, you know. It's so difficult to really change.
Difficult? Why, look here. Changing from bad to good's as easy as taking your first step.
Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking across the floor. Put one foot in front of the other. And soon you'll be walking out the door. You never will get where you're going if you never get up on your feet. Come on, there's a good tailwind blowing. A fast walking man is hard to beat.
Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking across the floor. Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking out the door.
If you want to change your direction, if your time of life is at hand, well, don't be the rule, be the exception. A good way to start is to stand.
Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking across the floor. Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be walking out the door.
See you later.
Yeah. I want to change the reflection I see in the mirror each morn.
Oh, you do?
You mean that it's just my election?
Just that.
To vote for a chance to be reborn?
Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you are walking
crazy tempo.
Yeah.
Across the floor. You put one foot in front of the other, and soon you are walking out the door.
Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you are walking across the floor.
Put one foot in front of the other, and soon you'll be.
Some see the glass as half empty. Others see it as half full. We simply see, rum.
Yeah.
Stan and Amy, 96 K-Rock.
One foot in front of the other.
Love that.
Yeah, you heard the intro of our buddy, the late Mickey Rooney, singing that song. What was that, The Year Without a Santa Claus? What was that, Santa Claus is Coming to Town? Which one was that?
I don't know.
One
of them.
I think it was with the Heat Miser.
Yeah. I'm Mr. Heat Miser.
One of my all-time favorites, the Heat Miser.
And, of course, we want to thank our chief correspondent, Brent Baer, and Brian Kilmeade.
Yeah.
For assisting in our roundtable discussion.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. History right here on the Stan and Haney Show.
Yep.
So, yeah, you think about that. Think about that, though, when they called in. Brett Baer was at the Fox News desk waiting for break-ins.
He was in the studio.
He was in the studio. Kilmeade has to run over for the 5 and do that show over there. And we got him right in the middle of all of that, and that was great. And, of course, they got the big event coming up down in Naples in January. But that was good having him on. It's nice to have a relationship.
Especially
with
today.
Yep. Let's get you updated on, by the way, that whole song, Put One Foot in Front of the Other. Mickey Rooney.
Biggest star in the world.
We talked to him.
We really did. I can't believe it. We've talked to Mickey Rooney. We've talked to Milton Berle.
He wanted you to know he was the biggest star in the world.
Yep.
And he would tell you every single chance you could get. But people don't realize it. He was. In the 1940s.
He was a kid star.
He was a kid star. Him and Judy Garland. What were those Andy Hardy films?
Yep.
Biggest star in the world. Now, when you... And I don't know if it's on the archives. I might put it up there. Mickey Rooney liked to talk and make himself, even in old age, pretty important. He claimed in the interview that we had with him that he gave Marilyn Monroe her name. That factually, I don't know, is it accurate.
Doesn't really matter.
But he believed it.
Yeah.
And
doesn't really matter.
When we had him on, the Chaplin movie was had just come out with Robert Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked him how.
Didn't he say he was nothing like his daddy?
He's a fine, fine actor. Fine. But there was a problem with that movie. I knew Chaplin. Chaplin and I were friends. What did you notice? Robert Downey Jr., brown eyes. Charlie Chaplin had the bluest of blue eyes. And right there, it lost me. I discovered America's biggest star in the world.
You see, Mickey, the movie wasn't made for people that knew Chaplin personally
right.
in mind.
Right.
And because most of what we know about him is in black and white, no one will know the difference.
Right. Thank you, Mickey. let's get you updated on traffic.
I've never seen you roll your eyes as much during an interview as when we were talking to Mickey Rooney.
Well, we were, because every interview, biggest star in the world. Okay, I understand that, Mickey. He was talking about when, before Marilyn Monroe was Marilyn Monroe, when she was Norma Jean, whatever her name was.
Yeah.
And he said her name wrong. But he's the one that gave her the name.
Yeah, of course he did.
Yeah.
Who's going to argue with him? They're all dead.
Yeah. Biggest star in the world. Traffic. Let's get you updated. He was a good interview, though. He liked to talk.
Hey, is it true that Nick Offerman is not Ron Swanson?
He's so far from Ron Swanson. I very quickly, I won't get into details right now. Maybe tomorrow I will. Nick Offerman was in Fort Myers on Friday night.
And we love Ron Swanson.
I had to walk out of the show. I walked out after 20 minutes. That guy is... Well, the hipsters loved him.
The libs?
Yep. Got a crash. Bonita Springs, 3200 block of Bonita Beach Road, right by the pack and ship. Mark Haney and the News. Brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
This is the Evening News with Harry Reasoner and Barbara Walters. Who's
I'm Jerry
in California.
King on the
also
phone.
Frank Reynolds and Howard K. Smith.
Jerry
in Washington.
King on the phone.
I'm Ann Compton.
I'm Charles Gibson.
I'm Jerry King.
There he is.
I'm Barbara Walters.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Monday, December 9th.
Double M-X-I-X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for Things You Didn't Know. Incidentally, great to be back in the studio.
Yeah. Great to have you back.
It was a historic broadcast on Friday.
It was.
It had never been done.
Yep. It was Stan and Haney magic. I was listening to a disc jockey station up in Port Charlotte, I think it is, some low watt AM station. And they were going to play a Christmas song. And he introduced it going into the commercial break. And I'm thinking, what? Coming up, some Christmas magic.
Oh.
With Andy Williams. Christmas magic. I know what song you're going to play, and it's a song. Is it Christmas magic? Is it? Coming up, after some messages, some Christmas magic.
Well, Stan, be fair to the guy. If you're on a low wattage AM in Port Charlotte, you're throwing everything at the wall to try and keep the one listener you might have.
Yep.
Because you go to commercial on a low wattage AM.
Yep, you might not come back.
Yeah. So you gotta bring the house.
Some Christmas magic.
No, a Christmas song won't do if you tune away from this low watt AM signal. You'll be missing Christmas magic.
Yep. Just the makes magic. Christmas magic.
Yeah. The worse the radio signal, the heavier the bolt.
It's true. It's true.
Because you're going to fight for every last one.
Every last one.
Some Christmas magic.
Stan, we know the National Hockey League does this, but what about the NBA?
What?
Has there ever been an outdoor NBA game?
I think there is. Yes.
Because the outdoor NHL game is a big celebration.
I remember years ago they tried it. Yes, there has been an outdoor NBA game. Yeah, I'll say that. Lock in my answer.
As a matter of fact, there have been four outdoor games in NBA history. All of them were what they like to call preseason games.
Oh, all right. Just lock in my answer, Regis.
And final answer? And the Phoenix Suns played in all four of them. The most recent one was in 2010.
All right. Yeah, I remember it. I don't remember the team. I don't remember it was played outdoors. What did they do? Convert a tennis court into a basketball court?
That's bad for your feet.
Yeah. See, there's the that's a tennis.
I was told that the tennis court circuit surface is very bad when you're jumping.
Well, they put a court on top of it. You're not going to go and play on the tennis court. They put a floor over it. See, there's the picture of it. Well, they show the damn basketball court on the...
Looks like a football stadium.
It sure does. That's a tennis state. I keep seeing a tennis court. Where's the basketball hoop?
I guess we're supposed to use our imagination.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rob.
Yep.
Basketball magic.
Coming up next on AM
1690. Yep. I used to work on a station, AM 1200.
Where was that?
Sanford.
WUEZ 1200 on the AM dial.
And did you use that creepy voice?
No, I did not. I wish I did, though.
Well, you know, there's still time.
Some Christmas.
Yeah, there is. Yep.
Some Christmas magic coming up from Andy Williams.
Yeah. Welcome home, Stan. And then you can talk in that creepy voice.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, it's a homecoming for me, and I've brought along my friend Haney.
You brought along my friend Haney for some Stan and Haney magic.
That's right. We're going to throw it all against the wall just for you.
Yeah.
Whoever you are, whoever doesn't have a working radio.
1,000-watt daytimer, 250 at night.
Perhaps you're listening on a radio that you have to crank for electricity. Stan, you grew up on a farm.
I did.
You've seen animals castrated.
I have. Oh, yes. Yes, I have.
How hard do you think it'd be to castrate a hippo?
I don't know. Do they do it?
Well, it's damn near impossible. You see, their nuts are on the inside, and they recede even deeper during the surgery.
Or when it's cold outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they hide.
Yeah.
And
there he is. He's showing some of the outdoor game there on the tennis court.
Yeah, but now you can't see if it's the football stadium or not.
Yeah, where's the overhead shot of the whole? There it is, right there. Look at that.
That's got to be like, for Arizona State or something?
I don't know.
Is that the Cardinals stadium?
Looks nice.
Yeah, was it night outdoors?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ain't that something?
Yep.
Yeah, and from hippo to hippo?
Yeah.
Like, on a man, a doctor can be reasonably certain as to where the testes are located.
Yep, right about there.
From hippo to hippo, the location can, and keep in mind they're inside.
Yeah.
And their location can be up to 16 inches different from animal to animal.
Right up there by the kidney.
Yeah. So hippos, they're like, you can try, but I wouldn't advise it.
Right.
Coming up with some Christmas magic by Bing Crosby.
Oh, you couldn't be more right, Stan. We like to remember the smooth crooner, Bing Crosby, wearing those wonderful sweaters and lighting candles and telling tales of Christmas gone by. We don't focus on the child beating.
Yeah, why don't you read about this guy? Destroyed his first family, tried to make it up with the second family by selling a lot of orange juice.
Yep.
You want to talk about Christmas magic? How about Christmas hell?
Yep. Yeah. While he was making all those road pictures, they were growing up without a father.
Yeah.
The Olympics.
Yeah.
Cities around the world fight to get the Olympics in their town. They call it making bids. There is one city that has made the most bids to host the Olympics without ever getting an Olympic game.
New York City.
No. Hmm. Detroit.
Detroit? Who would want an Olympics in Detroit?
Winter Olympics?
Well, you're gonna, it would revitalize the area.
They are 0-7 on their bids to host the Olympics. They finally gave up in 1972.
That's when Munich got the games.
The opposite of Detroit, London.
Mm.
Four bids, four Olympic games. Globalists love London and hate Detroit.
Yep. I don't know if I'd want to go to an Olympic Games in Detroit. I just don't know.
No, Detroit was a different place.
I understand that.
I mean, it's obvious now. After the American carnage.
Yeah.
Which, according to Hillary Clinton, talking about the fact that we've lost our manufacturing base is some weird stuff. All right. You want one more thing you didn't know, or you want to go to break?
One more thing you didn't know, and then it'll be perfect time to go to a break.
Only one disco album ever won a Grammy for Album of the Year.
That's easy.
How easy?
That's the Travolta Bee Gees Saturday Night Fever.
The Saturday Night Fever soundtrack is correct. It is also one of only three movie soundtracks to win that award, meaning the soundtrack to a film wins Album of the Year. So Saturday Night Fever is one of three.
I don't know the rest.
Well, one I can forgive you on. The other one, you should damn well know it.
Really?
The Bodyguard is one.
Oh, jeez.
I'll forgive you that.
Hootney, Whiston, and all that.
Yep. The final one?
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a hint. I am a man of constant sorrow.
Oh, Brother?
Sorrow. Yep. So Saturday Night Fever, Bodyguard, and Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? The three to win Album of the Year as a soundtrack.
All right.
Coming up, some Christmas magic from Perry Como. In a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
Jason and Todd with the Diamond District and Estero at Coconut Point have exciting news for you. This week only, Wednesday, December 11th and Thursday the 12th, the Diamond District is having their annual John Hardy Holiday Trunk Show. John Hardy jewelry is handcrafted by artisans in Bali. And for these 2 days only, view one of the largest collections of John Hardy just in time for Christmas. John Hardy is dedicated to the creation of ultimate beauty through artisan handcrafted jewelry. Since inception, John Hardy has been deeply
rooted in the essential values of community, artisanship, and sustainability. Join Jason and Todd at the Diamond District this Wednesday and Thursday only and experience for yourself the magic, power, and timeless beauty of the John Hardy Collections. Whether it's from the Dot, Bamboo, Legends, or Classic Chain Collections, John Hardy Jewelry makes a perfect gift for Christmas.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News
on the Stan and Haney Show.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, I would like for everyone to remember this the next time they feel the urge to scream out, F the patriarchy. There's a 38-year-old woman named Dawn Gentry. She was elected as a family court judge in beautiful northern Kentucky.
God's country.
She's just been hit with 9 misconduct charges over a variety of things. Who's keeping track? Just things like having an affair with her pastor.
It happens.
And then hiring him for a job he wasn't qualified for, pressuring a female staff member to have sex with her husband, letting her staff get drunk on the job, appointing all sorts of unqualified friends, family members, and high donors to high-paying jobs. And then, of course, having the threesomes with the pastor and other staff members in the office. She'll be facing a disciplinary hearing in the next few months. Could be anything from a confidential reprimand to being removed from office altogether.
There she is right there. They show pictures of her like I'm looking at right now in her robe. Lovely. She wanted to be everybody's friend. And some of the pictures that I saw of her.
That's why you can't have a female in that position. A
lot of fun times.
Yep, they're people pleasers.
Yep, they want to please. And she if you looked at the array of photos that they had online of her, hanging out, arms around
you
everybody.
You see her in the robes, and then you see her in the tank top and the tube top.
Yep, the shorty shorts.
Yep.
Do they have any? Let's see where she's having fun.
And you know what? The nice thing is she forced other women to have sex.
You're right.
With not just her lover, but her husband as well.
Yeah, there she was always friends with the cops. There,
yep,
they,
look
there
at
she
that.
Is. Yep.
Headlights on.
Yep. Headlights, high beams on.
Yep. She likes a man in uniform.
Yeah. She's people pleaser.
Yep. Doesn't mind ladies either.
Yeah. She is ready to make some Christmas magic.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Christmas magic.
Yes.
There's a 38-year-old woman named Crystal Graham from Clearwater.
Ah, jeez.
She and her boyfriend became involved in an argument on Friday morning, apparently because Crystal was upset that her boyfriend was playing the TV loudly as she was trying to sleep. During the argument, Crystal angrily disassembled their artificial Christmas tree and threw approximately 3 sections of it at the boyfriend. He wound up with scratches and cuts on the face, neck, and stomach, and Crystal was arrested for domestic battery.
She goes, she ruined another Christmas again. You know, that tree didn't come cheap.
No, I imagine this year, because she's damaged him in the past, they went the extra mile on a new one to signify a new beginning.
Yeah. You know, I had a great idea.
When?
Over the weekend.
Were you drinking at the time?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Fair enough.
I was in the Home Depot drunk. And, you know, they have the artificial trees there.
Mm-hmm.
And they had one on display. It was all...
A real showpiece.
Yeah, showpiece. It was tough. looked real. It was frocked. Had all the tinsel and the balls on it, the star on top.
Now, he referred to balls and said the word frocked, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong.
Okay, I know a lot of you don't understand, but it's okay.
A frocked tree with all the balls. It looked gorgeous. And I said to my wife, I said, you know what? Deliver this like this to my house.
No fuss, no muss.
No fuss, no. And then after January 1st, come up, come by, pick it up, and take it home, back to the store again.
Not to be seen until next year.
And then it dawned on me. Delivery service of a tree rental. Artificial tree rental. You have a business that makes these things. Buy all of these ornaments.
And the tree just shows up.
And they have it.
You don't do a thing.
They put some cellophane around it. You put your order in. Okay, I'd like the tree delivered day after Thanksgiving.
But you don't personally have to do anything. You just show up one day and it's there.
Doorbell rings. They're there. Two guys, in overalls. The tree's wrapped in some cellophane. Mm-hmm. They carry it in. They go, take it out. It's spectacular. And then, pay for whatever it is for the 2-week rental. And then you go and take it back again. Don't even touch. Just take it back. And then you don't have to decorate the tree. You don't have to take the tree down. You don't have to fight with the tree. It's delivered, fully decorated, taken back. Done.
I could swear I had that same idea 20 years ago when you told me it was stupid.
You wanted live trees.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill?
But can you see that? Tree rental?
The difference between my idea and your idea is that I wanted to use live trees.
Yeah, and it makes no sense.
How does it make sense to use artificial trees?
Because you take
it. If somebody's taking it and bringing it to you and then taking it away, why not taking have a live
right
tree?
Taking it right back to the warehouse so they can use it again next year. How many of you in your garage or in your attic have a fake tree that you got to put together every year and put the balls on it and the tinsel and frock it and lights? No.
No grown man should have to frock his own tree.
Precisely. This is my point. You call, hey, tree rental, bring it over. Well, and you'll pick it up with your handy crew, Jan 2?
Stan, I hate to say this, but I think somebody beat you to it. Rob found a tree rental company.
Rent a living tree.
Oh, well,
your idea. Yep. It was your idea. My idea is original. Do you keep it and then they bring it and take it away? I don't want a needle dropper.
But that's not your idea.
That's not, no.
A real tree.
And that's not my idea either, because they're bringing in an undecorated tree.
You want it fully frocked.
I want it fully decorated.
Frocked tree with big balls.
No room for any other ornaments on it. And then bring it in. I'll have a corner of the house set up for it. Then you take it away on January 2nd. And maybe if I enjoyed the tree, next year I'll call and rent another one. And you can rent 3-footer, 4-footer, 12-footer, all decorated.
And so you're suggesting that then the next year comes around and you'll get the exact same tree
again.
No,
I can pick a different one. Maybe I've moved and gone into a bigger house. I got a vaulted ceiling. Give me the 12-footer.
But I'm
willing to pay more.
But ideally, if nothing changed, you'd get the same exact tree
back. Not necessarily. Maybe I want a different color scheme. Maybe one year it was white frocked, and next year I want red balls.
So we should
and natural
be clear.
Color.
My idea is different from yours because
completely
I'm using
different.
Live
You're
trees.
You're using a live tree. Then you got to throw it out. I'm talking about high-end high-end fake trees where it's tough to tell.
Bill? And
they just take it back.
Sorry about that, folks.
Is it me? Is there a problem here? Is it me? I think it's a great idea.
Well,
it's
seasonal. Well, it's because it's an artificial tree.
Yeah, it's a, yes. You go to Stan and Haney's tree rental. We have some warehouse.
I got a little room in the used screw warehouse.
With a lot of garage doors. And you open it up and the whole place.
Well, I only got the one garage door.
The whole place is full of decorated trees. And they got the, like a cover over them, see-through. And then the calls come in. Hey,
If you were to take them apart, you'd be able to fit a lot more in the trunk.
No, but then the whole point of it's gone. I need an 8-footer. Don't worry. What color? Do you want it frocked? Do you want white frocking, blue frocking?
And who does the frocking?
It's already done. That's the start. That's your startup. Get it all done. Then you rent them. Bring them right back.
But who's doing it?
If there's wear and tear, if one of the balls gets broken.
What are you
going
to do? Hire the Home Depot people to frock it?
Maybe. If one of the balls get broken, you're charging them. I'm sorry. The tree did not come back as we delivered it to you. There are three balls missing and one broken.
Well, sir, I believe I purchased the insurance option.
Good thing you did. Good thing you did.
I'm covered.
You're covered.
Okay, great.
Sorry. It's just an idea. I had that when I was drinking in the Home Depot.
Mm-hmm.
Saw a tree. I said, let me take it right now.
Well, that's pure gold. Yep. But now welcome to my world where nothing ever comes of it.
Well, you want needle droppers in the house. I don't want that.
I know. I've gone against all trees now.
Yeah.
Think I'm going to get a menorah.
Yeah, a lot less headaches.
Yeah, and it's still festive.
Yep, sure is.
Maybe I'll have an Advent wreath.
Yep.
With a menorah.
Yep. Maybe a Kwanzaa menorah.
No.
Where you have the different colored candles.
That's not for me. You explain that to me. You said I should stay away from it. That I shouldn't learn any more about it.
You're the one that wanted a menorah.
A 32-year-old woman named Skylar Williams from Long Island went to the TGI Fridays last week and took advantage of their all-you-can-eat appetizers promotion.
Oh, jeez. I can't.
And she thought it would be a good idea and a great value to get a bunch of the appetizers to take home in a doggy bag. Mm-hmm. Now, that's poor all-you-can-eat etiquette, and most restaurants have a firm policy against it.
Yes, they do.
But when Fridays made the horrible mistake of telling Skylar no, a word that she is not familiar with. Well, she did the only thing she could do.
What's that?
She went behind the bar and obtained her own to-go container. An employee made the mistake of trying to stop her, and Skylar swung a bottle of liquor at that employee. Then she tried to walk out with said appetizers, plus that bottle of liquor. I guess she figured she deserved that for her trouble of having to self-serve. And then, when an employee made the mistake of trying to stop her again, well, she did the only thing she could do.
What's that?
Well, she knew that the bottle wasn't enough of a deterrent, so this time she pulled a knife on the employee. She was arrested for robbery, menacing, criminal possession of a weapon. She also had a bunch of oxy on her, so she was charged with criminal possession of a controlled substance. And that's the danger of these all-you-can-eat apps promotions.
Take a look at her. Can you imagine?
Did she apply those eyelashes herself?
She sure
what a
did.
Job.
Fashion plate.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, that would be adorable if she was 7.
Yeah.
And that's the news for today, Monday, December 9th.
Double M XIX.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney.
There he is, little Mark Haney, telling it like It is.
You know,
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District.
It just seems like we're always on the edge of altercations. If you can remember, the next time that Dave is in here, ask him about when all hell broke loose at McDonald's.
I'll ask him. Coming up, some Christmas magic from Johnny Mathis.
The great Johnny Mathis and Christmas magic coming up right here on the Big 1060.
A lot of people ask, how did Stan and Haney get this gig? It's actually an interesting story. You see, they were hanging out in a Home Depot parking lot, all liquored up before sunrise, when Brad Beasley drove up, yelled something at them in Spanish, showed them a $10 bill, and told them to get into his truck pronto. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us. Tomorrow, the Big Beasley Bike Drive. For the Toys for Tots Super Walmart all day out there at the Estero Parkway location. Let's get a final look at traffic for your drive home. Fort Myers got a crash. South Tamiami Trail and 6 Mile Cypress, Michael G. Rippey Parkway. And, Alva, crash, Carter Lane and Palm Beach Boulevard. And you are up to date. Let's laugh.
Time now for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy the way it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
Kids had rules to live up to, but most of the rules were tough.
They had some good rules. You know, I don't mean to put them all down. Parents had some pretty good rules. No running with the scissors. Made sense to me. This big mother will go right through me. What are you doing? I'm not running with the scissors. They had a couple more good rules. No sticking your head out of the high-speed railroad train window. Say, damn, Dad, good rule. Doesn't want our heads chopped off. Fantastic, Dad. But then they had some dumb rules. No running in the hall.
Where are we gonna run?
In the rooms? Gonna keep turning in the rooms. I can't get up any speed at all, man.
They had another dumb rule, no singing at the table.
Why not? You could stand right next to the table and sing your ass off. Just don't sit down, man, that's it. I'm standing near the table. During dinner and I'm singing, and it isn't even covered by your rule.
Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock. We leave you this afternoon with this. Our listeners were not so concerned about Dave and Haney. We're not so concerned, although they did send their well wishes.
I know they were concerned about you with the amount of buttons you had to push.
You know what? The logistics of this was nuts. It can't be made simple. It's not simple.
What I want to know, though, is
what everybody wants to know is the dog. There were more clicks on that dog. That
little
was
bastard.
Carpet wetter, and I mean that carpet was bad.
And everywhere else, too. Yeah. When they do let him out, they let him out on the second floor balcony, and he wets there.
Was the dog still there when you guys checked out?
Yes. The last thing I heard is it's like, okay, one last bathroom break, and I'm standing there, and I go, oh, dog's not at the front window. It's at the back of the room barking at me.
Yeah. I mean, that was for Friday's
And you
Friday's
never
show.
Saw anybody in that room.
Never.
Didn't
not
you
the
say
whole
he was
time.
Sitting on the bed and petting his dog?
It looked like somebody was sitting in there, but I couldn't tell.
Could have been a corpse.
But I don't know, man. That was a strange place. A lot of people keep bicycles in their room there.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
But the dog was still there when you left.
Yeah, still sitting there.
That was what the concern was all about. Your whole trip up to St. Augustine, there were more texts and clicks about that dog.
Given the rate of that hotel, I think somebody said, instead of getting a kennel, we'll get the dog its own room.
Here, boy. There he is. Here, boy.
Very much so.
That little bastard.
Dude, all night long, man.
Got himself a good underbite.
Then the damn freight train coming through. And,
oh, yeah.
God.
If we'd stayed there a couple more days, we could tell you the schedule on that train.
I bet you could.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
look at that dog.
Yeah.
That little bastard.
That little pain in the ass.
Boy, he looks the part, too, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Look at the drool on the window.
He's got a nice collar on. An owner who cares.
Well, that's just to keep people from thinking he's a stray.
Yeah. Oh, by the way.
I wonder if somebody said, instead of a kennel, why don't we just throw him in the roadway
in? Got a nice carpet there to pee on and crap on.
Yeah, the dog made itself at home.
Had a big bowl of food, so somebody...
Oh, sure, they take care of it.
You know what? I wonder if they just tipped that housekeeper.
It's very well possible, yeah.
And she comes by and just empties the bag.
Just does a check. Welfare check on the dog.
Concerned about that animal.
Look,
that's no life, even for a dog.
No, that's a lonely existence. That dog needs a good home.
It was a good...
Yeah, that's out front.
Yeah, that's when they let him out.
To pee.
Yeah. Yep.
Out the front door.
This is so...
I wonder how long that dog's lived there.
I don't know. A long time.
Yeah, and you're right next door. All the seepage, all the...
You know
the...
what? Here's my theory. Some wealthy old grandam of St. Augustine said the dog had to be provided for in her will, and that was the cheapest way they could do it. That's the dog's room.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Dog's got a full run of the hotel room.
Well, I'm glad you guys made it back. I'm glad somebody...
Yeah, because it was an iffy thing.
It was iffy.
Yeah, a little shady.
And somehow, and I'll never understand this one, the equipment worked better in St. Augustine than it did in our own building.
Of course it did. Works better if we're... it worked better than if we were even at a car lot somewhere.
Is it just the farther away we get from the radio station, the better the equipment works?
A lot of time it's operator error. The simple skill, and you know what? Hats off to Dave. He understands this. Disconnect, reconnect.
Mm-hmm.
Because not every time, you know how sometimes you call grandma and you don't have a good connection and the thing's breaking up and you say, well, let me call you right back. We got a bad connection, and then it comes in, and it's fine.
You know what else was really strange?
What?
Because Dave booked the rooms. I didn't know where this place was.
Dump. Somebody, I'll read the email later. Somebody, just by your description of it up in St. Augustine, because I only think there's one like it, they nailed where you stay.
Yeah, and right across the street was a radio station.
Yeah.
And it was just the most bizarre thing. As we were sitting there talking to you, we could see their office and their call letters and all that.
That's great. That's great.
So it was just a little slice of hell.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.